the Lord laid this message in my heart early today, and I believe that it has some significance for us. In fact, I've told Ann, we normally don't put Wednesday nights online, and I told her tonight to put this online. We had a few different phone calls from people that need healing and need prayer, and they're going to get texts tonight to say, go online and listen to the message, because this message is something the Lord obviously knew about some of the needs that have surfaced. And so Isaiah 55, title of the message is The Word Comes Down. So let's look at Isaiah 55. I was telling a few of you that I thought earlier today, I mean in the morning when I got up, I'm like, gosh, are we going to be able to have service tonight? You know, probably I was talking to Fred Cosley and he had some stuff we prayed about. And anyway, I said, well, you know, told him stay in because it could be slick and all that. And I'm thinking we're not going to have church tonight, probably. At that point, it was early today. And then as the day progressed, it's like, no, we're having service. But praise God for it. I'm glad you're here. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Begin there in verse number 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See that? Interesting, isn't it? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs said that. The last verse in the book of Judges said, and in that day every man did what he thought was right or felt was right in his own eyes. And we know that that led to destruction for many, many people. It's dangerous to do what you think is the right thing to do. You need to get the counsel of the Lord. You need to get his thoughts on it. That's why in the Sunday service, in the series that we're doing on simplifying your life, one of the things that is being brought out is that you need to, it's important that you seek the face of the Lord to get his plan. Whatever Jesus says to do, that's what you're supposed to do, see? And so his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but yet it needs to be said, all right? Look at verse 9 again. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, notice that he's talking about the heavens being higher than the earth, right? Again, a point well taken, and really, we don't even have to think much on that. We know the heavens are higher than the earth. But look at the next verse. For as the rain comes down from where? From a place higher than on the earth. Right? See how these are tying together? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Oh, interesting. We had snow today. Isn't that interesting? Ann and I were on the tennis court on Sunday playing tennis in our shorts. Now, when I say shorts, okay, I'm not talking about underwear, all right? You know that. Because I've had people say, you actually go outside in your shorts? I'm like, well, what do you mean by shorts? You know, well, those are your unmentionables. I'm like, no, I don't run around out anyway. But we're out there playing tennis, and today there's that much snow on the ground. It's crazy. But welcome to Oklahoma. Amen. So, but notice this. As the rain comes down, and again, and the snow from heaven, the same way that the heavens are higher than the earth and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, the rain comes down from a point higher than we are, falls upon us, and the snow does the same, and returns not thither, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, right? The rain does us a whole lot of good. I mean, complain if you will about rain, but every time it rains, especially at this time of the year, that lowers the fire risk considerably. The snow lowers the fire risk considerably. Why? Things are wet. And it also brings the water table up. And that's important. I'm always believing for a wet summer, you know. Oklahoma's notorious for not having wet summers. Notorious for those dog days. And you get laid around and it's 100. You remember, in fact, I remember the year we built our house. that first summer in 2011, the hottest summer and the most number of days in, I don't know, 80 years, whatever it was, over 100 degrees. And I'm trying to grow grass. You remember that? First water bill that we had at our house? I was watering it because we did this, what's the hydro seeding where you put the, they come and blow it in with water and it puts the seed down, lays like a mulch on the ground, and you're supposed to keep that wet all the time. Well, that's fine if it's not 110 degrees outside. So I was, and I don't have a watering system at my house, so I was having to move these sprinklers around, and every little while I'd have to go back and move them. I had them going in a big circle, and so we were really getting it wet. They were going probably, I'd start them at, 6:30 in the morning, shut them off at 9 or 10 at night. Okay, so that's 15 hours? We got the first water bill. And I opened the thing up, and I did a double take, and it goes, whoa! And it was like $400 for our water. I was like, holy moly, I turned it off, And so, and that was about halfway through the next month where I'd been running it, So the next bill comes, and it's exactly 200 and change, like exactly half of the next one. Yeah, water's necessary to grow grass. And it's nice when it comes down from above. That's why from that moment on, I started, I've got to believe for some rain here. This is ridiculous. $600 in water, And then my neighbor told me, he said, well, yours was four, mine was five. Across the way, he had a 500, not in our directly, but a little ways away. His was $500. So, interesting. But, so I'm believing God for a wet summer. And water comes from heaven. Just as the snow comes from heaven, just as his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, okay, they all tie together. And look what he compares it to. He says that it may bring forth and bud in the middle part of verse 10, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So water on our ground produces a great result. It causes the crops to grow. It'll eventually cause things to bud, things to grow. It'll grow things that people can eat and be sustained by and so on and so forth, and you know the process. But then in verse 11, suddenly he ties in this, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. Where does the Lord sit on his throne? Well, somebody say, on the throne of my heart. And yes, that's right. But he also has a throne in heaven. Amen? 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 Okay, so he's above. Just as the rain comes from above, just as the snow comes from above, just as his thoughts are higher above than our thoughts, and heaven is above the earth, so is he on his throne. And when he sends his word, it's going to produce a result, just as the snow, just as the rain, just as his thoughts will produce good things in us if we'll listen to what he has to say. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see that? So the giving of the word is linked to rain and snow and the eventual effects that that rain and snow has upon the earth. The word will have an effect as it rains on you, if you will. Every service, it's really important to have your Bible, because if you have your Bible, you can follow along. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and you need to see it. You need to get in there and read it. You need to know where these things are at. So the word is showered down upon you service after service. That's one of the things about a word church. A word church, the word is important. There's some churches the word's just not that important. Now, I'm sorry to say that, but it is true. Some churches, man, the guy uses one verse of scripture, and that's it. Now, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about? There are churches like that. One verse of scripture. I saw a guy on a video the other day. He said a few good things, but after about 20 minutes of listening to him, I'm like, he has not even gone to a verse of scripture. He's not even preaching out of the Bible. I mean, I'm like, whoa. See, this is a trend that's happened, and people like that watered-down thing because it doesn't make put as much of a responsibility. Everybody's like, yeah, we're cool. We're cool. We're good. Well, wait a minute. Man needs to hear the word, and they need to know where to find it. And no matter what's going on in our lives, we've got to have a place where we can go back and get to the word. Now, this pertains to healing tonight, so listen to this. So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, it's very important. It's being sent into your heart tonight. Amen? Into your thoughts. So, now, with that in mind, turn over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, very, very important that you let the word do in you what the word is designed to do. And understand that every time you come in to hear the word, you sit down, the word is being showered upon you. Think of it that way, like you're sitting in a room like, and all the sprinklers, there are no sprinklers in here, but all the sprinklers turn on and start showering down on you. It's a spiritual thing. The word comes, and the word is showering down upon us. With the washing of the water of the word, your mind gets renewed. That's what the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in Romans chapter 12, the washing of the water of the word is very, very important. Look at Psalm 107. Look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. You see that? And delivered them from their destruction. So he sent his word and healed them. The word healed is an interesting Hebrew word. It's that Hebrew word rapha. We know one of the names of the Lord is Jehovah or Jehovah Rapha, the God, or I am the God that heals you. That word rapha literally means to mend and to do it by stitching. In other words, like who's ever had stitches in here? I've had stitches before. I remember when I was a kid, I was riding on the bike, and we were going, and I went down this little way on my... had a bike that I had gotten for Christmas, probably, I don't know how many years prior, but it had one of those sissy bars on the back. Anybody remember those? Sissy bars? Huh? Yeah? And it came up to, like, the back of your head when you'd sit on the banana seat. See, these were all cool things. If you didn't have one, you weren't cool, you know. So it's just like all the kids were riding them. Banana seat. Mine was like a pearl-colored banana seat, and the bike was gold. It had fat tire on the back, a little thinner tire on the front. Had this sissy bar running up the back like this. Looked like a paper clip, but a big, thick paper clip. Anyway, so you could lean back on that, and whenever you grab the handlebars and kick back on that, you could do a wheelie. You could get it up on one wheel and see how far you could ride, and eventually fall over, you know, until you got good enough. Well, I was going down this little short little area up by the high school, and it kind of did a little dip down to the road coming off a higher area, and it connected with a little blacktop ramp. I went down that, and I popped it. When I did, the bars broke, and I had on a pair of shorts, and so the bar broke off the back. I went off the back, and those bars went up into the back of my legs. And I'm impaled, hanging on these steel bars, tearing my legs apart. All my weight, and I fell down, and of course, I probably shed a tear or two. I don't remember. I was pretty little. But I said to John, "Give me your bike." So he gets the broken piece with the sissy bar and the blood and the leg hanging on the bar, skin, you know, and I get on his bike and drive it home, and I'm driving and I'm leaving a trail of blood as I go. Well, anyway, they ended up putting, sorry to tell you all that, but anyway, they put stitches in my legs, and the one more than the other, but so... To mend by stitching. That was the point of that story. There you go. So now you know a little bit more about me than you knew before. So the word rapha means to mend by stitching. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So to heal, and get this, that word rapha means for individuals, but it also means for nations. And our nation right now is in the position where we need some mending. We need some some healing in the land, if you will. There's been a lot of partisan stuff going on. And, you know, our president was acquitted today, and we praise God for it. Now it's kind of like, okay, get over it. Y'all lost the election. Do what you're being paid to do, okay? And it's not to be trumping up charges over and over. Do your job. Do your job. And I can't help but think about all the money that this has cost the taxpayers. It is the ultimate definition of insanity when somebody knows the outcome because they even admitted it before. This is probably not going to go through, but we're going to do it anyway. And I'm like, wow. When you do something and you do it again and again, you keep getting the same results. And the next time you do it, you think you're going to get a different result. They knew the end result of this thing before they ever started it. Yet they didn't care that it cost, I don't know how much this thing has cost. That'll come out. But anyway, he's been acquitted. So it's that word, healed, healeth thee, is for the nation. Let's believe God that the nation experiences a healing. And the people that are being paid to do a job in Washington will start doing it. Amen? Amen, anyway. Thank you, Lord. So he sent his word and healed them. Go on down a little bit in this chapter. Go down to, you could read the, let's read 21. Did we read 20? Yeah, 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. Now, sailors get out there on the sea, and they're, yeah, they're up and down, tossed with the wind. And in these days, you know, yes, they had ships that would be under sail, and they also had ships that had people rowing them. Those were the ones considered under power. But in the middle of it all, pretty hairy situation from time to time, being out there. Look at verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Now verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Who did that remind you of? Who spoke to the storm and commanded it to be still? Do you remember? Yeah, of course he did. The Lord Jesus did. And then they were so amazed, he even speaks to the wind and the waves, and the wind and the waves obey him. Huh, interesting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, and that one of the accounts is in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, and Jesus said, peace be still. What did he do? He sent his word to the storm. He put his word forth to the storm, and the storm obeyed him. So somebody said to me one time, well, how is it that you speak to the weather? A Christian, what are you, kooky? Yeah, you know, it's interesting how I remember back years ago, I was at the tennis club when I was teaching tennis in Milwaukee. And I came out of the pro shop and I had the radio on. We didn't have phones like this. I mean, I had a telephone, okay, in the pro shop. But we couldn't go and look on our phones and see what storms are moving on the radar and all that. So I had to call the house and say, are you watching on the TV? Tell me, Mom, what's happening? And she said, well, there's a tornado coming, and it's approaching from the southwest, and it's looking really bad, and they're telling people to take cover. Well, I'm there, and I had ridden my motorcycle that day, and that pro shop wasn't very big, and the clubhouse was way up there, and I was like, well, I don't know that I want to be sitting here if there's a tornado coming, right? So I got my Bible out. And I'm pretty young in the Lord at this time. Nobody was around. All the people had gone. And I was there. And I thought, well, I can make a run for it now. Or I can speak to this storm and speak to it. So I took out my Bible. And I went to some of those verses where Jesus spoke to the storm, the wind, and the waves. And he sent his word, the Bible said. And he healed. Well, he put forth his word. And that word's powerful. I spoke to that storm. I had the radio on in the pro shop. And they were, and it was whatever the TV broadcast was on the radio, and they were saying where this thing was at. And I commanded that tornado in the name of Jesus to go up, to dissipate, and pass out over Lake Michigan and bring no harm. And the guy's talking, well, the thing's on the ground, it's moving. Oh, and it has just gone up on there. I was like, whoa, all right, praise God. God gets the glory for that. I'm this, you know, young Christian. I mean, I was born again probably a year or two, you know. But the Bible says what the Bible says. And when you get a hold of it, you start doing what the Bible says. God will back up his word. You can speak to the wind and the waves. Oh, countless times since that, I have spoken to situations, weather. My goodness sakes, our neighbor back when we were living in the cul-de-sac, there was a tornado approaching Stillwater, and she was home by herself, the college-age daughter, and Ann and I in Austin, we were home, and I went outside, and she's looking, and I said, don't be afraid, you live next door to us. Nothing's going to happen, because I'm spoken to that storm, and it's just going to have to go up and pass over Stillwater. You know, that's exactly what it did. She's looking at me like, whoa. I said, don't be afraid. You live next door to the preacher, and we're speaking to this storm. In the name of Jesus! She went in the house, you know. She's a believer, but she, you know, went to a church that, no, you didn't do those things. Only kooks do that. Well, the kooks get the results. I'm not a kook. You know what? It's really bad, but the world, and even the church world, calls people that take the word and speak it out with boldness and in faith, a bunch of kooks. Now, I'll grant you, there are some kooks running around. There really are. But you're not looking at one. Amen. Praise God. Larry. In Matthew chapter 8. Okay, so the word has been sent. He sent his word and healed. The word is showered down upon us, and it'll prosper in the place or the life where it's sent. So over in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 8, if you recall, the centurion who had a servant who was sick and nigh unto death, and what did that centurion say to Jesus? And you'll remember this. In verse number 8, the centurion answered, because the Lord said, I will come and heal him, in verse number 7. The centurion answers, and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Do you see that? Speak. The word speak is a word in the original language, comes from a root that means to put it forth. In other words, send it. Say it. Send it. My servant will be healed. You don't even need to come under my roof. My servant will be healed. You know, that's exactly what Jesus did. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That soldier, that centurion understood authority, and he recognized that Jesus had authority. That's something that they said about him when he spoke to the wind and the waves, and they're like, ooh, this guy rebukes the wind, and the wind listens to him. They had never seen it on that wise, the King James said. They'd never seen it that way. Somebody that has authority, speaks with authority. Ooh, and that ticked the Pharisees, the religious folk, ticked them off that this guy would speak with authority. Well, let me tell you something. It ticks off the religious world today, people that speak the word with authority and take God at his word and speak the word. Now, here's an interesting thing that we need to tie in. The Holy Spirit gave this to me. I was out feeding my animals, the deer and the turkeys. Those turkeys were waiting on me this morning. Went out the door and opened the garage door, and there's about 40 turkeys up on the north part of my lot and looking at me. You know, and they're loud, you know. I mean, our house is very well insulated, but you can hear that. And then I hear this, pow, pow, pow. They're pecking in that bird thing that I've got out for the doves. So now I'm feeding not only the doves and the deer and the raccoons and the possums and everything else. Now I got all this big flock of turkeys, for crying out loud. Anyway, so I went out there, fed them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this, about the necessity of mixing faith with what you hear. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So it's one thing to hear the word and know that Jesus sent his word and healed, and he spoke the word only and the servant was healed, and he spoke to the wind and the waves. He put his word forth when he spoke it, and the wind and the waves responded and went still. The sea went like glass. The centurion's servant was healed. Oh, yeah, so now you and I, what about that? Well, remember, as the rain comes down and the snow comes down, as thoughts of God are higher than our thoughts and the heavens themselves are higher than our thoughts, when he speaks his word from above and he lays it into your heart, and then he sent his word and healed. How does that happen for us? How are you going to mix faith with what you've heard tonight? I said to Stan, we were driving over, I said, are we just going to think harder on it? Well, yeah, meditation is part of it. You need to meditate on the word that you hear. But guess what else you need to do with that word that you hear? You need to start saying it. You need to start saying what God says about you and speak God's word over your life. That, in effect, is taking that word that you receive from on high and sending it forth into a situation, maybe your own life, maybe the life of somebody else. But that's how you mix faith. Look at verse number 1. Let us therefore fear or have reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How do you mix faith with what you hear? You begin to proclaim it. Somebody said, well, why would I proclaim it if I don't believe it? You start proclaiming it, and it's amazing when you hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word. If God spoke it to you, if God's word is the thing that you're saying, faith will begin to rise in you as you speak it. That's the whole concept involved. You need to say what God says about you. Had a man ask me today, well, can I do that? I said, yes, the Bible says very clearly that when God spoke over Abram, he called Abram Abraham. And the Bible said he called that. He said that was calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, sending his word to a situation to change the situation. He went from Abram, which meant high or lofty father, to Abraham, father of a multitude or father of many. So he began calling him father of a multitude when he and his wife had no kids. And on top of that, she was barren. Remember? So what did Abraham and Sarah do? It was really Sarah's idea. She said, hey, I've got this handmaiden named Hagar. She didn't believe, you know, Abraham told her what's going on, or Abram at that time, and then God started calling him Abraham. Well, God said, my name is Abraham, Sarah, and then Sarah would have a baby, the Lord told, and she laughed about it. So what did she do? She didn't anymore believe that, so she hooks up her handmaiden, who was younger and much more fertile, and says, go in and sleep with my husband. Well, you know, he contemplated that for a moment and went ahead with the plan. And she got pregnant. And who was the result of that pregnancy? A guy named Ishmael. That was man's plan. And Ishmael became the father of the Arab nations. And who came through the line of Ishmael? A guy named Muhammad actually came through the line of Ishmael. Do you know that? Muhammad came through the line of Ishmael. Now, who was the son of promise? Isaac was the son of promise, who Abraham and Sarah eventually at 190 years, not 190, but he was 100, she was 90, she got pregnant and ended up having a baby. This grandma has a baby. And that was the child of promise. So who was that child that was born of Abraham and Sarah? Isaac. Isaac. In Isaac then and his wife, Rachel, right, have a son. Actually, they had twins. Remember? Jacob and Esau. Esau was the first one out. Yes. And Jacob was hanging on to his heel when he came out of the womb, right? It meant a heel grabber. In other words, he was one who was underhanded. Jacob ended up being not the most honest guy, okay? But Jacob's name is then changed later on to Israel. And guess who came through the line of Isaac? One named Jesus came through the line of Isaac. But Isaac was the child of promise, the child that was born according to the word that was sent. Ishmael was the child born of, hey, we got to take care of this thing. So we're going to do this. And when we do this, all right, we'll help God. Didn't work. And there's been trouble between Isaac's offspring and Ishmael's offspring from then on. All that trouble in the Middle East goes back to Isaac and Ishmael. It does. The Muslims, the Islam faith, Muhammad, that's that way. I told a Muslim guy one time, I said, you came to a fork in the road and you took the wrong way. You went with the son that was of the two people working it out, and the other son that was a product of Abraham and Isaac was supernatural. That shouldn't have happened in the natural. That was the child of promise. That's who the promise came through. Not this one. You went the wrong way. He bowed his knee and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord right there on the spot. Now, and I'm proud to tell you, that man is still in Stillwater. And he goes to a Baptist church. It's fine. And he's still serving the Lord Jesus Christ, he and his family. I saw him not that many years ago. Praise God for that. Amen? So here you go. How do you mix faith with what you hear? They didn't do it, but you and I need to do this. Start declaring what the word has said. Get the word out there. Say it. And I'll close with this. Healing is the children's bread, and healing is something that we as believers have a right to walk in. Amen? But in Mark chapter 5, verse number 28, that was the incident with the woman with the issue of blood. And Mark 5, verse 28, what was the woman saying? The Bible said, for she said in her heart, if I but touch the hem of his garment, the edge of the prayer shawl, the tallit, if I but touch the hem of that garment, what did she say? I'll be made whole. So she was mixing faith with what she had heard about Jesus, so much to the point that she stepped out in public under the risk of being stoned to death for being in public with an issue of blood like that. She could legally be stoned, killed, right there on the spot. She took that chance to get to Jesus. For she said in her heart, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And guess what happened? We have the story down. It's there. It's written in the Word of God. The woman was made whole like that. So, the Word is sent. It's raining down. It's raining the Word. Now, it's amazing. What happens is people start getting weary in hearing the Word. Weary in speaking the Word. Go ahead, stand to your feet. And they get weary in well-doing. And so suddenly the Word doesn't matter so much anymore because after all, I tried that. Let me tell you something about the Word. It's very, very important. You must continue to hear the Word. We, in order for us to have crops, you don't water one time or like I did that summer where it was being dried up so much. I was trying to keep things wet. I couldn't. So the more heat you're under in your life, the more word you're needing to be washed in. Some people have dirty minds, and their minds need to be washed with the word. Amen? You say, yeah, my mind's not dirty. Well, if you don't think like God, it is. If you think like the world, then you're going to get what the world promises. So the washing of the water of the word is very important. And if you're wanting to receive healing, you need to keep hearing that word. You need to keep sitting underneath the shower of the word. Don't go periods of long periods of time without getting into the Word of God. So I'm telling Ann tonight, I said, Ann, I'm asking Ann tonight to put this CD online so that others can listen to it. The Word is being sent. The Word, He sent His Word, He healed. You mix faith by saying what God says about you, saying what the Word says. Amen? Amen. Just as the snow came down this morning, the Word came down tonight. He sent His Word and healed him. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank You and praise You even this night in Jesus' name for the Word that we've heard and the importance of that Word and what that Word brings into our lives. And Father, we are so grateful for Your Word penetrating our circumstances and delivering us and healing us and Lord, through Your Word, showing us the way to go and how to operate and live in this life. We thank You so much for Your instruction and Your love toward us. We just give You the glory and the praise, the thanksgiving and the honor in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen?